platform and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Defense Department in a farewell ceremony holding that for President Biden today. The president telling military members he was honored to lead them.
Last time as Commander-in-Chief, I want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you to all the families. We owe you.
Outgoing Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin praising the president's leadership during times of turmoil overseas, from Russia's war in Ukraine to the conflict, he says, between Israel and Hamas.
He has just secured a ceasefire that will stop the fighting in Gaza, surge more humanitarian aid to suffering Palestinian civilians, and reunite the hostages with their families.
The ceasefire deal expected to go into effect Sunday. On Capitol Hill, Senate confirmation hearings continue. EPA nominee Lee Zeldin and Interior Secretary nominee Doug Burgum among those answering questions today. And the winds have eased in Southern California. This is ABC News. Hollywood marking a major passing, TV and film director David Lynch. Details from ABC's Mike DeBusky.
Whether it was Twin Peaks or Mulholland Drive or Blue Velvet, there's a good chance you've encountered at least one David Lynch project in your life. Lynch got his start in filmmaking with 1977's Eraserhead, followed up by the award-winning The Elephant Man. In a statement, his family says there's a big hole in the world now that he's no longer with us, but as he would say, keep your eye on the donut and not on the hole.
David Lynch was 78. A new request from the man accused of murdering four University of Idaho students. Lawyers for Brian Koberger asking the court to make public records detailing how detectives use DNA that police call a match to the former student. Koberger's attorneys claim investigators used a controversial new technique to link him to the crime and claim the genetic match is not a smoking gun. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 17th through the 27th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
For new carpet, the Home Depot is your destination. With a large assortment of affordable carpeting in the brands, styles, and colors you need. And for new carpet savings, the Home Depot also has you covered. With 10% off all special order carpeting, right now, enjoy long-lasting comfort at a great price and free installation. Offer valid January 9th through January 26th, 2025. Receive 10% off special order carpet and installation. Installation included in select markets with qualifying purchase. For licenses, see homedepot.com/license numbers.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. Former Wisconsin congressman nominated by President-elect Donald Trump to lead the Department of Transportation at his confirmation hearing in Washington, D.C. Wednesday. Sean Duffy says Trump is a builder and wants to invest in rebuilding the country's infrastructure.
He asked me to focus on the big, the durable projects that connect our country and connect our people. If confirmed, I will work to reduce the red tape that slows critical infrastructure projects, ensuring funds are spent efficiently. We use the tax dollar well.
Duffy has gotten the support of both Republican and Democratic U.S. senators for Wisconsin, Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin. An ICE detention facility has been proposed for Milwaukee. A Tuesday press release from Alder Laressa Taylor revealed the U.S. Department of Homeland Security has requested modifications to an empty warehouse in her district on Milwaukee's northwest side. Taylor says Immigration and Customs Enforcement is looking to make the changes to the building to transport prisoners to and from the facility. She adds the agency is exercising a federal exemption, allowing it to avoid city approval to turn the building into a detention facility. That's a move Taylor says she doesn't support. Catholics in southeast Wisconsin have a new leader. Jeffrey Grob was installed as the 12th Archbishop of Milwaukee Tuesday. Grob expressed humility to reporters following his installation ceremony in Mass at the Cathedral of St. John the Evangelist.
This is not about me. I'm number 12, actually. This is about the church. I mean, it's the traditions that have been passed down through the centuries since the Lord Jesus.
The Cross Plains native who grew up on a dairy farm was selected by Pope Francis in November to succeed retiring Archbishop Jerome Lestecky. Grob previously served as an auxiliary bishop for the Archdiocese of Chicago. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlow. More clouds than sunshine today and mild. High temperatures climb above freezing to the mid-30s. But it's breezy, with winds out of the northwest gusting up to 30 miles per hour. They'll switch out of the south by tonight, warming us up tomorrow to highs flirting with 40. Need a new bathroom? BCI Bath and Shower. 1-800-329-4115. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
From markets to USDA news the past several days and much more, we have a lot to talk about here today on AOA. Thanks for joining us on Agriculture of America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Good to be here again. And we have a lot to get to, as I mentioned, coming up here later on in the show. We're going to talk with Farm Progress Policy Editor Josh Bakey in Segment 3, get some thoughts on the USDA 45Z guidance that's been rolled out here as we got more updates there on Wednesday. We'll also talk about the upcoming Senate hearing for USDA nominee Brooke Rollins. That date has been set for next week now. We're going to talk about those stories and more coming up with Josh Bakey. We'll also have a conversation with the new treasurer of the United Soybean Board, from North Dakota, Matt Gast is going to join us in Segment 4 to close out the show. Speaking of USDA news, we got an update to the Packers and Stockyards Act. Tanner Beamer with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association is going to join us to discuss that news in Segment 2 here today. Helping us kick things off, though, on the program, let's take a look at what's happening in the markets. Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics is with us here today. Mike, thanks for being with us on AOA. Hope all's well.
Doing great, Jesse. Hope you're doing the same.
Absolutely. Doing good. Maybe not as good as the market trade here on Thursday. Plenty of red on the screen. And I know you and I have been chatting off and on this week. And I'm curious, let's start in the grain side. Soybeans are the downside leader. Wondering, have we got a little overbought here? Are we turning our attention back to South American weather, et cetera? What's your take on the grains here as we're maybe starting a bit of a downslide into the weekend?
Yeah, beans took off harder at the start of the week, and so they've spent a lot more energy, and I think in that respect they need to have the bull fed more when it comes to South American weather or the demand side of the equation. And if you kind of match that up in terms of how the funds have been trading, Jesse, along with some additional cash selling pressure that I think farmers are really moving a lot of corn and beans right now and have been for the last 6 or 7 days, maybe even peaking at this point. You probably do have a situation still brewing where the beans are the leader to the downside. And I think what we're seeing as we get ready and kick off a big weather market three-day weekend, with Monday being closed due to the Martin Luther King holiday, is the feeding of the bull in South American weather, as you mentioned, not happening. In fact, the overnight South American weather trade that was started off weaker, we've kind of developed that into the day trade as well, thanks to the weather maps, the physical radar returns starting to show better systems coming into Buenos Aires province, Cordoba province of Argentina. That's the focal point. And so that weather market's not being fed in terms of the bull with the radar returns.
What about export sales? I know we got that latest data out Thursday morning. Any notes there maybe driving the grain trade here?
Yeah, generally speaking, it makes sense that the corn would continue to be the long side of the spread against the soybeans, especially wheat weekly export sales and corn export sales both topped the highest trade guess. Wheat actually was about 55% above the four-week average. That was sorely needed since wheat has really been stuck in kind of a snowbank, if you will, to continue the winter metaphor. Soybeans, however, down 27% from the four-week average on their sales. Meal, the one that we really need to lead this market higher in the products after that record crush report on Wednesday, marketing your low in the meal export sales of only 144,000 tons. So we've got a situation, I think, developing where the meal market, the bean market, is a situation where I feel like that Argentina's crop conditions right now, Jesse, they're showing significant drought pressure. Colleagues down there are telling me that. Models and drought numbers are suggesting that pretty strongly. Kind of reminds me of late May, early June of 2012 for us here in the United States, where that major drought-breaking rain to keep the crop at least preserved was a must-have. We got it. This weekend, we'll see if the Argentines get it or not.
I do want to get us over to livestock, but I think to help bridge from grains to livestock, I just want to mention the outside markets, the dollar. We saw a good day in stocks Wednesday, et cetera. How much is some of that macro and energy market fundamentals playing here in the ags, Mike?
I think between now and inauguration day on Monday and when we come back into the trade Tuesday, it's going to be very large percentage of how the market sees commodities as a whole, Jesse, because I think this first half of January, we have seen a rotation into commodities because of this inflation being sticky. And the crude oil, the copper, they've really turned on some nice moves. We've gotten, what, six-month highs in the crude oil market at this point. And this goes back to the tariff threats and this incremental tariff mindset that the new Trump administration won't pressure as aggressively our major ag trading partners when he first comes into office. That's kind of taken hold here, and it, I think, allowed the investor community to come in and rotate into commodities. So we want that trend to continue post-inauguration. We simply put, want a sell signal in that dollar against all of our major trading partners like China, Brazil, Canada, and Russia.
On the cattle markets, I want your thoughts there as we close out the segment. I mean, cash futures has just continued to be so strong. I wonder when the bull run might end here potentially in cattle. What are you watching there right now, Mike?
I think you're going to find that out before the end of this week, because what we're developing now is a weather market of not feeding the bull for the cattle too. I think that when you look at major areas of, like, say, York, Nebraska, and Sioux Falls, South Dakota, the cold temperatures from Sunday through Tuesday, those extreme cold temperatures that the market's been very worried about, I think put some pressure on the packers to buy up and get some extra marketings bought, and also put some upward pressure on the cash market. That cold doesn't look like it's going to stick around as we come into Thursday morning's trade. So we've got some trend lines that are being violated in both fats and feeders. Will the cash market hold up? Because at 205 cash negotiated minus 197 Feb futures, you're building a pretty significant premium in the cash. So I think you're going to get the answer to your question pretty soon here.
This might be a silly question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Are we getting to levels here in the cattle where it's actually too hard for folks to make a profit, Mike?
I think in the feeders we are, Jesse, especially if the corn goes up another leg because of the South American weather. But we're, you know, we're talking about some pretty sky-high prices. So I think seven-weight feeders hit a new record on Wednesday. I saw Bassett, Nebraska, five weights, 383.50. I really wonder how you're going to be able to turn a profit and make it green if those corn prices continue to go higher through the winter.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that with how prices are, but it's an interesting take that some folks have been floating my way here in recent days. So appreciate your thoughts there. Mike, anything final real quick as we close it out?
I think the big thing right now for me, Jesse, is the missing link in the wheat market. If we get a sell signal in the dollar, I really want that wheat market to turn on and get some short covering, mainly because I think the dollar is the key, but also we need the wheat to rally with the corn. Otherwise, it's a feed grain and it competes with corn.
Mike, if folks want to reach out to you and get some analysis and have a conversation, how can they get in touch?
Great time to sign up for a two-week free trial at globalcomresearch.com, globalcom with two M's, research.com.
Mike Zuzalo, Global Commodity Analytics. Always great to chat markets with you, sir. Thanks for joining us on AOA. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you real soon.
Enjoy the warmth while we have it, Jesse.
Absolutely. Mike Zuzalo with Global Commodity Analytics joining us here on the show. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the latest update to the Packers and Stockyards Act with Tanner Beamer from the NCBA. He joins us next on AOA.
By the time you're done listening to this ad, nearly a dump truck's worth of plastic will have made it into the ocean. Plastic has become a useful part of our everyday lives, but it's polluting the air, water, and soil that all life needs to survive. This is a human problem that can be solved with human action, but it's going to take all of us, from individuals to businesses to governments and everyone in between. Help create a cleaner future for both people and nature. Visit wwf.earth/plastics.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
80 million listeners depend on AM radio to always be on, delivering news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports you can trust. AM radio also delivers vital emergency information when you need it most. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of
the Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Tax season is here. Don't pay more than you have to. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Several days as the Biden administration is getting set to leave office, USDA has had a flurry of news coming out affecting agriculture. And one of the things that they have released is the third new Packers and Stockyards regulation, We're going to talk about this. Joining us now for a conversation, he is Executive Director of Government Affairs with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Tanner Beamer. Tanner, it's good to catch up with you again, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jesse. Always a pleasure to join your show and chat with you.
Well, let's take a look at this. And I know we've seen now over the last couple of years several of these updates when it comes to the Packers and Stockyards regulations. And as the administration is on the way out the door, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack announcing some of this, some of these updates here. So I guess just to set this up for us, what exactly has USDA announced with this new update?
So this most recent update was them announcing the finalization of the third rulemaking that the Biden administration has done under the Packers and Stockyards Act. And some of your listeners will remember that NCBA, as well as the National Pork Producers Council, the National Chicken Council, the National Turkey Federation, we have been very staunchly opposed to what the Biden administration has been attempting to do in unilaterally rewriting the Packers and Stockyards Act by excluding Congress from that conversation. These rules, if they would have been allowed to finalize, would have been immensely harmful to cattle producers. So this third rule that they finalized specifically addresses the poultry industry and specifically what we call the tournament system for poultry growers. Which obviously I don't have a whole lot of interest or expertise in as a cattle industry lobbyist. But what was also announced was that USDA intended to withdraw their proposed rule titled Fair and Competitive Livestock and Poultry Markets. That's more commonly referred to by folks in our industry as the harm to competition rule. And if it would have been finalized and gone into effect, it would have drastically changed the way that we market cattle in this country. It would have set us back decades in terms of marketing innovation, and it would have represented a real threat to producer profitability at a time when input costs are still just sky high and threatening profitability in and of themselves.
Well, and to your point here about that piece that was withdrawn, this is something, and this is an issue that we've been talking about now for several years. As there's, Tanner, there's been a lot of folks who've made their comments and their voices heard about, you know, the state of cattle marketing in the U.S. But to your point here, at least having this piece withdrawn from USDA is a positive, right?
Yes, this is a major victory. You know, we fully expected the Biden administration to proceed and basically pick up where the Obama administration left off the last time Tom Vilsack was over there and try and finalize again these immensely harmful regulations in the name of so-called fairness. And unfortunately, because of the opposition that we were able to demonstrate to USDA from our membership to these rules, we forced them into a position to have to withdraw the rule. I think the Supreme Court's decision last summer to strike down Chevron deference also played a major role in their decision to roll back this proposed rule because they just know that it would not stand up in court. Every single time the harm to competition challenge has been challenged in court, it has been upheld by, I think, 8 out of 12 circuit courts. That's a massive set of federal precedent and case law supporting this as the bedrock foundational issue of the Packers and Stockyards Act. And so this is a major victory, but unfortunately, the Biden administration has made it very clear that they are setting up future like-minded administrations to try and do this again. So we will be spending some time during the 119th Congress and during the Trump administration to strengthen that standard and make it very clear that it is the intent of Congress that cattle producers should be in charge of their own marketing decisions, not some bureaucrat sitting in Washington, D.C.
That's a great point. I want to lean in there a little bit more with you as we look ahead to the new administration and thinking about working on this moving forward. Have you guys had any sort of communication with the incoming team, or what do you anticipate here moving forward? What are some ways that we can look to continue to improve market fairness for cattle producers, Tanner?
You know, we have been in conversations with the Trump transition team, and we are excited to work with Secretary Designate Rawlins once she's confirmed by the U.S. Senate, and Stephen Vaden when he's confirmed as Deputy Secretary. We're hopeful that we can continue to have these conversations about addressing some real concerns within the industry, right? whether or not there is sufficient processing capacity out there in the country, whether or not producers have sufficient options when they are delivering to the packer, and making sure that first and foremost that they have the tools to be successful and profitable. Because again, the cattle industry is by far and away one of, if not the most complex set of commodity markets on planet Earth. And so it should be up to the producers to choose their own destiny on how they market their cattle, how they try and carve out a niche for themselves or differentiate their product in the marketplace, and not left up to somebody in Washington, D.C., who quite frankly doesn't know which end of the cow does what.
Tanner Beamer, NCBA Executive Director of Government Affairs, is with us here today on AOA. And something you mentioned there, this makes me think of something else as well, that I know within the cattle industry, there's been for several years a lot of talk of the consolidation, you know, the big four meat packers, so to speak, and that in itself not providing enough competition and different avenues for ranchers to market their cattle. I wonder, is that something, you know, and it's tough because you don't want to, you know, step on, you know, free business practices, et cetera, you know, and the freedom to do as you please. But consolidation in the meatpacking industry is a real big issue, isn't it, Tanner?
I mean, it certainly is. It's actually funny. I'm a bit of a history buff, Jesse, as you well know. And if you go back and read the minutes of the first NCBA meeting in 1898, one of the top issues that they were discussing was consolidation in the packing sector with the Big Five. And that issue, 126 years later, is still an issue that we are talking about in this industry. And it's definitely something that we have our eyes on as NCBA. And I think that our approach to try and address that issue has been to support some of these smaller, more regional packing businesses that have come online in the past couple of years. You look at Sustainable Beef in Nebraska. You look at True West in Idaho. These are just two examples of some of these new facilities that have come online and have been a huge boon to the producers in that area in adding just another option. And a lot of those new plants that are coming online are doing revenue sharing with some of these producers. They're looking at different ways to compensate producers for cattle in a way that is more, I guess, directly tied to the value of the beef that is produced from those animals. And these are just new ways that we're innovating to look into the future and see how we can all work together to continue to put the highest quality protein on American dinner plates and the dinner plates of our major export markets, which we also hope to expand.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot there. And I'll even throw this out there too. In recent years, we've seen a lot of direct to consumer, you know, work by producers as well, trying to find different avenues to, you know, bring that high quality beef to consumers. Right, Tanner?
It is insane, Jesse. I've been at NCBA for 8 years now. And I, in the last year, every time I've traveled and been in a group of cattle producers, I say, raise your hand if you are currently doing direct to consumer marketing. And there's always a huge number of hands that go up in the room. And when I say, leave your hand up if you were doing direct to consumer marketing before COVID, pretty much all the hands but three or four go down. I mean, it is amazing how much that has changed the industry. I mean, I'm a direct-to-consumer purchaser as well. I purchase a quarter of a steer a couple times a year from a farmer that lives near me in Virginia. And that is, I love it. And I would love to not go back to having to buy it in the grocery store if I don't have to. That I definitely believe that there are immense opportunities in the direct-to-consumer market space for our members as well as other livestock producers.
Absolutely. There's a lot of things that lie ahead for sure. A lot of opportunities that we're going to watch as we work into this new administration, new Congress, and much, much more. Tanner, always appreciate the time. I know folks can go to beef.org for more and give a plug. I know we'll see each other in a couple of weeks. Cattle convention in San Antonio is right around the corner.
That's right. If you've ever had any curiosity about what NCBA is all about, how we establish our policy priorities, or any of the good work that the Beef Checkoff is doing, you can come and visit us in San Antonio, Texas, February 4th through the 6th. It's going to be a great time.
And that website for more details, convention.ncba.org. With that, Tanner Beamer, NCBA Executive Director of Government Affairs. Good to chat with you again, my friend. Have a great weekend, and we will see you in San Antonio.
You as well. Take care, Jesse.
All right. Coming up next here on AOA, we are going to talk about the upcoming Senate hearing for USDA nominee Brooke Rollins. That date has been set. We're going to talk about Farm Bill timelines and more. Josh Bakey, Policy Editor for Farm Progress, joins us next on AOA.
Hey, I'm your mountain bike. Been a minute since we hit the trail. Why not roll me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that keeps us all moving. Donate today. On your left. To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Farm and Ranch Media is your go-to source for the latest news of agriculture, market information, ag weather, and much more. With the American Ag Network, Agriculture of America, AOA, and Market Talk, we keep you informed on the news and issues that matter for your operation. Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why we'll keep you farm informed with the American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk.
Compere Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compere Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compere.com. Compere Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets. Reporting from the Dairy Strong Conference, I'm Brian Winnikins with this market update on WRDN. At the Mercantile Exchange, February milk up 13 to 2005, March up 19 to 1986, April up 13 to 1964, May up 33 at 1961. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets for the day today, live cattle feeder, cattle and hogs all moving sharply lower today as Thursday's move seems to be more technically driven than fundamentally driven as pork cutout values were slightly higher and cash cattle prices traded anywhere from steady to $2 higher. It also looks like it was just a risk-off type of day in the commodities. February live cattle down $1.92 to $196.60. January feeder cattle down $1.77 to $273.45. February hogs down 82 cents to $82.30. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all lower. Soybeans really leading the entire grain complex lower on the day as the corn markets faded back from their highs, easing overbought conditions along with a broad risk-off environment throughout the day. Soybeans again sharply lower due to overbought conditions ahead of the South American harvest, and wheat moving lower again overbought conditions, and also the dollar continues to rebound. New crop corn down 4.25 to 452 and three quarters. New crop beans down 18.5 to 1020 and three quarters. March wheat down 9.5.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your Auto Owners agent serving the Durand area is Jerry Thompson Insurance, a division of Ansay & Associates.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
AOA continues here today. As I mentioned a little bit ago, we've seen a lot of news come out from USDA here in the last week, and that includes the 45Z guidance along with the update to climate smart practices that came out on Wednesday. We also are watching farm bill timelines with this new administration, a new Congress. And then you put on top of it, we have a Senate hearing coming up here for USDA nominee Brooke Rollins. Let's talk about all this. Joining us now, Josh Bakey with Farm Progress, policy editor there. Josh, it's good to have you back on the show with us. Happy New Year. How are you?
Yeah, happy New Year to you too. Always good to be here, Jesse.
Well, let's start with Secretary Rollins' Senate hearing. I know we just got news of that date being set here on Thursday morning, and I believe that's going to be coming up now next week, right, Josh?
That's correct. Yeah, it's coming up on Thursday morning, 10 a.m. She's going to appear before the Senate Agriculture Committee, and, you know, just kind of how this process goes. You're going to have the senators from both parties. You typically alternate asking questions. They have a lot of time to talk to her. That presumably will take, you know, better part of a day, and then, or maybe even a half a day, depending on how much time to give everybody. And from there, the Senate committee will make a recommendation. That'll, if they, assuming they approve her, that'll go before the full Senate. And at some point, they'll schedule a vote. Right now, her nomination looks like pretty much a formality. There's no organized opposition to her at this point. I haven't heard a lot of complaints. And we had yesterday a group of, I think, almost about 400 different ag groups signed a letter to the chair, the leaders in the Senate Ag Committee, Senator Bozeman and Senator Klobuchar, recommending her nomination. So, you know, not expecting any fireworks at this point, but, you know, a week is a long time away. So I guess we'll see.
And I was going to say, I have seen that, I think it was some 400 ag groups or something have sent a letter urging the confirmation of Ms. Rollins to be USDA secretary. So to your point, it seems like that even though she may be light on experience for this role, some have mentioned that, it seems like she has an overwhelming groundswell of support behind her from the ag industry, Josh.
Yeah, that's been my perception too. You know, I think that the two things I consistently hear about her are, you know, even though her career has been more on the law and political side, she has a background in agriculture, like we talked about before. That's something a lot of people are excited about. And she also has the ear of President Trump. You know, she's been a longtime advisor to him. They have a close working relationship. And I believe the hope is, you know, since she has that close relationship with the president, that she'll have his ear and be able to advocate for issues important to agriculture.
Josh, let's segue another thing for us to talk about here. Wednesday, USDA, with the outgoing Biden administration, they've been rolling out a lot of news. And we now have the rule on climate smart agriculture crops that followed the Treasury release on last Friday for news related to 45Z. And, you know, looking through this whole climate smart ag rule released by USDA, the two things that stood out to me, number one is that they have unbundled practices for farmers, it looks like. And then I know they've released a carbon calculator too. What is your take on what USDA rolled out on Wednesday?
Well, you know, I think it was welcome news. Or I guess going back to Wednesday, there was a lot of uncertainty because they announced this 45Z tax credit. Kind of for those who aren't familiar with it, basically fuel producers are going to get a tax break for producing fuels that emit lower levels of greenhouse gases. They released some initial rules last Wednesday, but they left out the part about what crops would qualify to be feedstock for these fuels. And that's the issue that's important to farmers is that, well, you know, while the tax credits are going to go to the fuel producers, it's expected that these companies are going to pay a premium to farmers to grow climate smart feedstock for these fuels. So the guidance came out yesterday. And like you said, the big news was the unbundling. The previous guidance last year, you had to adhere to multiple climate smart practices in order to qualify. In this case, it's been unbundled. So, you know, the credits they announced yesterday applied to sorghum, soybeans, and corn. And basically, they can use, you know, reduced till or no-till no-till farming practices, cover crops, other nutrient management practices, but they can pick and choose some of those to in order to qualify for it. And then, and as far as the second point, you mentioned the new GREET model, which is going to basically determine how much greenhouse gases are emitted from fuels. That's still in the development stages. We're expecting to get that any minute now. I believe last week, you know, the word was this would come out before President Biden left. Well, now we only have a few days left, so I'm assuming that's coming out soon. I think the big question is what happens with these rules after the new administration comes in.
Josh Bakey, policy editor for Farm Progress, is with us here on AOA today, and that's a great point, and that's something that I've been raising that thought with folks here for several days now as we've been talking about the 45Z guidance and now the Climate Smart Ag stuff, et cetera, is that what happens to all of this when a new administration takes over here in just a matter of days? And I think that's going to be a big question. There's been a lot of folks who have said that the Biden administration, with how delayed this has all been, have essentially kind of punted a lot of this to the Trump administration, and there are so many unknowns there right now.
Yeah, you're exactly right about that. I mean, for example, these rules on the crops, you know, they don't go into effect immediately. There's a 60-day public comment period, and it could totally change. And from what we've seen, we haven't really gotten an indication of how the Trump administration plans to handle this. You know, I know talking to farm groups, they do support this in concept, but you know, as far as maybe some individual changes, other things, that just kind of remains to be seen. It's just everyone's kind of playing a wait and see game at this point in terms of what President Trump plans to do.
Well, let's talk farm bill. That's another issue that is top of mind for many folks in ag. And I talked with the new ranking member on the House Ag Committee, Angie Craig from Minnesota, earlier this week. And she indicated a pretty good willingness to want to work with House Ag Chair G.T. Thompson to get something done, feeling like they have a good relationship. But she mentioned that there's some issues that she has with what was proposed in the House in the last Congress. I guess thinking about that and what you're hearing from DC right now, what are we looking at in terms of a new farm bill, Josh?
You know, I spoke to Senator John Bozeman last week, who's the chair of the Senate Ag Committee, and he expressed a similar sentiment. You know, confident about getting something done this year, confident about working with his new counterpart on the Democratic side, Senator Amy Klobuchar. But like you said, the same obstacles remain. You know, last year, one of the big things stopping the bill that came out of the House Ag Committee was funding for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Programs, or SNAP. And you know, there seems to be a renewed effort outside of agriculture to rein in some of those costs and change the program. That's been one of the biggest roadblocks to getting bipartisan support for this. And then the other thing you have is, you know, while there's definitely a desire to get something done now that we're, you know, 7 years out from the last farm bill, looking at the congressional calendar, you still have several things that are likely going to be addressed first. You have another budget deadline coming up in March. You have, you know, President Trump has said he wants to focus on tax cuts, immigration, a couple of other key issues during the beginning of his term. So, and then, you know, since it's a new Congress, you're also going to have new members coming in, introducing new ideas. You're going to have the bill rebudgeted. So I don't think you're going to see anything immediately in the coming months. I think the best case scenario would be sometime in the summer, but there's a lot that has to happen between now and then to get to that point.
You mentioned tax cuts as well, and I think that could maybe be a precursor to the back and forth we could see on a farm bill, because there's been some proposals floated by Republicans about making cuts, reforms to the SNAP program to work with the tax cuts proposals that are out there, and maybe renewing the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, et cetera, from how I understand it. So right there, we can maybe set ourselves up for what the farm bill debate could look like if some of that continues with tax cuts and the SNAP program reform, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of moving parts there right now.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, for particularly for farm state Republicans, it puts them in a difficult spot, because while conceptually they agree with the need to rein in spending, that's what a lot of them ran on, they don't necessarily want to see that money coming out of the farm bill budget. But, you know, as we know, it's a huge a huge spending package, and it's hard to see how, you know, they can accomplish these spending cut goals without some changes of the farm bill. Now, they would say it can be done, but, you know, the question is with everything else is how do you get to that point? But, yeah, it's really going to be interesting to see how that debate moves here in the next few months.
And, of course, you know, as we close out here, Josh, we got about a minute. But with the incoming Trump administration, all the tariff talk and more, there's plenty of things on the immediate horizon here that I feel like agriculture is going to be paying attention to over the next several weeks and months ahead. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the tariffs is another one where a lot of these lawmakers are walking a fine line. They while they support, you know, the need to, in their minds, you know, rein in China, combat some of the issues they see coming from there. There's also, if we, you know, impose tariffs, it presumably will have an effect on farmers. How do we still make sure that they receive the income they'll be losing out on if these tariffs have the effect that most economists think they have? Now, there's a confidence that President Trump will take care of farmers. You recall last time he put tariffs in his first term, he also issued payments to offset some of those losses. But, you know, how that will look this time, that's the other big question we're going to be looking at here in a couple months, among many other things, as you said.
Yeah, among many other things. Folks can stay up to date. They can take a look at your stories and coverage, farmprogress.com. And with that, policy editor for Farm Progress, Josh Bakey, always good to have you join us here on AOA. Josh, have a great weekend. We will talk to you again soon.
Hey, you do the same. Great talking to you, Jesse.
Josh Bakey with Farm Progress joining us here on AOA today. Coming up next, as we close out the show, we're going to be joined by the newly elected treasurer of the United Soybean Board, North Dakota farmer Matt Gast. He'll be with us on the way after this. Back with more AOA right after the break.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Did you know that 1 in 4 people seeking treatment for ED are under 40? Hims can help. Get started at hims.com/joy. Through hims.com, you can access a full range of treatment options for ED, including daily or as-needed meds through a 100% online process. To start your free online visit and save up to 95%, go to hims.com/joy.
I had the worst dream last night. You were in a car crash and the kids and I were on our own. We had to move out of the house because I couldn't afford it anymore.
That's awful, huh?
My brother was saying he got life insurance from Ethos. With Ethos, it only took 10 minutes and he got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day. It's all online. No medical exam. He just answered a few health questions right from his house.
Ethos, here we come.
Visit GetEthos.com. That's GetEthos.com.
Sample rate is a 10-year term life policy for 35-year-old healthy, non-smoking male. Billed monthly.
Together and bring it to market at Dorrance Publishing. We have thousands of testimonials from people just like you that we've helped get their books sold in stores and online. We've even got a service called The Writer's Coach. It's perfect for people that have a book idea in their head and they just need someone to help them put it on paper. Dorrance Book Publishing has been helping people just like you who have a book idea, written or not, for over 100 years. Imagine being counted among the most famous authors in the world with your very own book. Call right now and let us help you turn a book idea into reality. It's easier than you think. You just need a little help. Call us now.
800-879-4098. 800-879-4098. 800-879-4098. That's 800-879-4098.
Nearly a dump truck's worth of plastic will have made it into the ocean. Plastic has become a useful part of our everyday lives, but it's polluting the air, water, and soil that all life needs to survive. This is a human problem that can be solved with human action, but it's going to take all of us, from individuals to businesses to governments and everyone in between. Help create a cleaner future for both people and nature. Visit wwf.earth/plastics.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Helping your inner circle prepare for emergencies can start in many ways. Put together an emergency kit with WipeWall. Create a family communication plan with your tita. Remind Bai to keep a backup battery charged. It all starts with a simple step, telling those you care about to be ready for the worst. So start a conversation and plan for emergencies together. Get more tips at ready.gov/start. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, as we continue here today. It was good to catch up with Josh Bakey from Farm Progress. A lot of things going on in agriculture, it feels like, this week. We got the confirmation hearing set for Brooke Rollins to take over as Secretary of Agriculture next week. We saw this 45Z guidance that got rolled out here on Wednesday with some positive notes there for farmers. The whole unbundling of practices, I think, could be a key thing. It's just a matter of where does all of this go from here? That's going to be a big question that we're going to be exploring here over the next few weeks and months ahead. And then, of course, watching that farm bill timeline, a lot of things going on here right now that we need to keep an eye on throughout agriculture. Well, right now, joining us here on the program, he was recently elected as treasurer for the United Soybean Board, Matt Gast from North Dakota. Matt, it is good to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us. Hope all is well.
Yeah, you as well, Jesse. Things are going well.
Well, let's dive in. I know you were elected here late in 2024 to be treasurer, as I mentioned, for the United Soybean Board. And looking at the year ahead as we get started with 2025, what are your thoughts as you get ready to serve in the treasurer role and some of the things you are looking forward to in the year ahead for the Soy Checkoff, Matt?
You know, just really working with the staff here and the team and really getting this budget set for the coming year, you know, anticipating, you know, where soybean prices are going to be at, yields, acres, things like that. You know, I'd like to get that honed in really well as much as possible, you know, to try and maximize the dollars coming in, get those dollars spent wisely, and to really maximize the profit for farmers to be able to invest in the smartest, most things that we can do.
Well, and I think about this, and we could lean in here a little bit. I know in the last several years, USB, you guys have done a lot of different things, a lot of research, a lot of various projects and more to try and increase the value of the U.S. soybean and for soybean farmers. Talk about some of those projects that we've seen, or maybe if you could share some clues on some things that are ahead here. I mean, talk about some of that for us and what the work you guys have done.
Yeah, you know, we like to talk about the power of the soy investment. You know, things that we've invested money on, research on, soybean oil replacing petroleum oil, working with Goodyear, Skechers, plywood, pure bond plywood you can buy from Home Depot, Sinlon, turf. I mean, it's in all kinds of things. You know, the soy investment has created roughly 30,000 jobs around the country, $2.6 billion in U.S. employment income. And we actually just did every 5 years by, we're required by USDA to do a return on investment study. And that number came back at $12.30. So for every dollar a farmer invests in the checkoff, they get $12.30 back.
It's a great figure when you look at that. And to your point about, you know, working on the budget as treasurer, I know that's going to be a big goal for you here this year, is making sure that those checkoff dollars that farmers invest are going to projects that are going to end up being a great return on investment, right?
Yeah, and I think that holds staff, it holds soybean farmers, directors on the board, really accountable, you know, on strategic, smart investments that are going to give soybean farmers the most return on their investment, you know, especially in these down years of commodity prices, things like that. We really have to be smart in areas that we invest this money in, and just do it wisely. And you know, that's one thing I always think, you know, is this going to bring money back to the soybean farmers?
Is there one area in particular that you think we could see some growth and development in here when it comes to some of these investments in the year ahead, Matt?
Yeah, you know, one thing we always hear about is biofuels, you know, things like that. Working with some of these other outside companies, agencies, you know, all these new crush facilities are coming into the country around the United States. You know, I know in North Dakota, we got two of them here online in the past year and a half. What can we do with all that domestically here and even internationally with all this more meal that's coming online? Where can we, you know, use this to? Where can we take this to get rid of it, to keep the value of the soybean, you know, where it's at, or even increase those numbers?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Matt, as we close it out here today, any final thoughts you would share with folks as you take over as treasurer and more, and some of the things ahead for the United Soybean Board?
Just that we are here, you know, working on behalf of all 500,000 U.S. soy farmers, and we take a lot of pride in what we do. Being appointed to this board, you know, it's a pretty cool thing, but we don't take it lightly. We put a lot of time, a lot of effort into it, and you can really tell everybody that's on this board and the work we do, everybody's really, really passionate about it.
Well, I know folks can find more at unitedsoybean.org. I should ask you real quick, Matt, and we may have talked about this the last time we had a conversation, so forgive me if I'm bringing it up again, but how did things wrap up for you at the end of the fall harvest in 2024 on your farm there in North Dakota?
Yeah, things were all right. I mean, we had some areas that had one area that had 5 to 7 inches of rain in one rain event, and the soybeans and corn in that area had just been planted not too long before that. And so those areas really, really struggled. There's some areas that beans were 20 bushels better than average, but I would say on my farm, my corn or my soybeans were about average, and my corn was probably, you know, 10, 15 bushels below average just because of that, the wet spring, the late spring, and then that rain event after planting.
Yeah. Well, we'll hope that 2025 is a good year ahead for many folks. And again, you can go to unitedsoybean.org for more information. Matt Gast, the treasurer for the United Soybean Board from North Dakota, thanks for joining us today on the show. Appreciate the time. We will talk to you again real soon, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Jesse. Again, always a pleasure to be on with you.
Once again, Matt Gast, he is the new treasurer for the United Soybean Board from North Dakota. With that, we are up against the clock. We're out of time here today on AOA. Coming up on our next program, we're going to talk with Chris Bliley from Growth Energy, get some of his thoughts and perspective on all of this 45Z-related news that has been released here in the last several days. We'll talk with Paul Bleiberg from the National Milk Producers Federation, and we will examine what lies ahead in D.C. with Brandon Lips, principal and founder for Caprock Strategies. All that and more coming up on the next AOA. For now, though, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Hi, I'm your kid's old jeans. I've been in the drawer for a while and really miss the playground. You should swing by Goodwill and drop me off. Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. Plus, I can get back into the game. Donate today. Tag, you're it.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Back to the last time you were in nature. What comes to mind? Hiking through a lush forest, floating on a lazy river, or perhaps watching a vibrant sunset on a beach full of glistening plastic bottles and food?
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT. G-O-A-T. Acronym. Stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Great music, familiar local voices, news, and information. It's all here. You found Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Nelson, Maiden Rock, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the Justice Department, Attorney General Merrick Garland thanking DOJ staffers and commended them for their hard work on the January 6th investigation stemming from the Capitol riots.
You brought to justice those who kicked, punched, beat, and tased law enforcement officers